Okay, we start from the bottom of Chesam Beis, three lines from the bottom. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah from Demai. The Mishnah says as follows: Hanach Tomim Tanan Hasam. The Mishnah there says Hanach Tomim, the bakers, Lo Chayvu Osan Chachamim LaHafrish El Chumas Meiser V'Chala. The Chachamim said that the Nachtomim, the bakers, only have to take, when separating the different things from the fruit or the grains, they only have to separate Shumas Meiser and Challah. So there are a number of things that has to take place when a person separates their fruit. So let's look at Rashi for a second. Actually, before Rashi even, I'll say outside what the things are. First, the person has to take Chuma. You take off Chuma, which has no real Shir Midaraisa. The Chacham say you take 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th. Those are the suggested differences, different amounts, and that the gives to the Kohen. Now, the second thing is that it takes Meiser Rishon. The Meiser Rishon goes to the Levi. Then there's something Meiser Sheni and Meiser Ani, depending on the year. That's another tenth that either Meiser Sheni goes to Yerushalayim or Meiser Ani is given to the Ani of that year. And then after taking the Meiser, so then the Kohen Levi who receives the Meiser Rishon has to take something called Chumas Meiser. He has to give a portion, another tenth of the tenth, 1/100th of everything there, he gives to the Kohen. Those are different things. So we'll see in a second why the different things he does or doesn't have to take. The klal was, he's talking about demai. Now demai is, we buy something, fruit from an Am Haaretz, and there was an assumption that Am Haaretz did take certain things and certain things they did not take. So what do we assume they take? What did they not take? So the Mishnah says, we assume that the Am Haaretz did not take Shumas Meiser, and they did not take Challah. So therefore the bakers who buy the grains from the farmers who are the Am Haaretz, they would have to take Shumas Meiser and Challah before selling it to other people. So the Mishnah is going to analyze each of these things. The Gemara says as follows: Bishlama Chuma Gedola Lo. We understand why Chuma Gedola, that the Nachtomim, that the farmer did not take, and therefore that the Nachtom did have to take. Why was that clear? Ditanya, the Brisa says, Lefisha Shalach V'chol Gvul Yisrael. And Rashi tells us that Yochanan Kohen Gadol was the one who sent throughout the entire B'chol Gvul Yisrael. He sent out to take a census, who was doing what, who wasn't doing what. The Ra, and he saw, based on the statistics, She'ein Mafrishin El Chuma Gedola Bavad, that the only thing that they were taking was Chuma Gedola. Chuma Gedola was the first Chuma that the farmer would take. He would give to the Kohen 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th. So that already we know the Am Haaretz took, so there's no need for the Nachtom to be concerned with that. Now there are a couple of reasons why the Chuma was taken by the Am Haaretz. Why did the Am Haaretz not take Meiser Rishon and other things, but they did take Chuma? So, what? Why is one exactly? Rabbi Noel Yochum, one of the Rishonim, who we only have on Yuma, he says because the Chayv Misa, so that's why the farmers, that's a serious thing, the farmers took Chuma Gedola. The Mefarshim ask, Chuma Meiser also, though, is also Chayv Misa. The Chuma that the Levi, that for the Meiser Rishon, that the Chuma Gedola, the Chuma Meiser that the Levi ultimately gives, that also is Chayv Misa, that's also Bechlal, so why were they not concerned with that? So one opinion is that Rashi says because it's not written behedya, the pasuk doesn't explicitly write there's a chiyah misa for Chumas Meiser, so that's why they weren't concerned with that. The other explanation is that they thought that Chumas Meiser only is a chiyah misa once you separate the Chumas Meiser out. If they never separated Chumas Meiser, even though it might have been somewhere included within the pile of fruit, there's no Chiyah Misa yet. So for those two reasons, they weren't concerned with the Chiyah Misa that may have existed by Chumas Meiser, but they were concerned with the Chuma Gedola Misa. Therefore, the Am Haaretz farmers took Chuma Gedola. The Rabbi Yitzhak HaLavan, another Rishon who's found in very few Masechtas, he says because Chuma, as we said before, has no shear. One piece of chita, midaraisa, could exempt the entire pile of grain they have. So they could easily do that. I'll take one chita on all my things, and biyotze, it's not a big, as opposed to maisa, which is a tenth, it's a lot, it's a 10%. As opposed to chuma gedola, could even one piece of grain could exempt them from their chif. So for that reason, chuma gedola was taken throughout all of Eretz Yisrael. So then the Gemara says, okay, so what about maisa rishon? The Gemara, this is the second line down, maisa rishon, maisa ani, namilo. So they also, when he did his census, so the halacha was that they also took Meiser Rishon, they also took Meiser Sheni, Meiser Ani rather. So why then did the Nachtom not have to do it? Right? Because the Nachtom said that the Mishnah said that Nachtom only had to take Chuma Gedola, sorry, Chumas Meiser and Challah. Why didn't it say they have to also take Meiser Sheni and Meiser Ani, Meiser Rishon and Meiser Ani? So says the Gemara, this is the question. Gemara answers, Hamotzi Mechaveir Alav Haraya. So look at Rashi now, Hamotzi Mechaveir Alav Haraya, that Mechi Afrashe Afkoi, when they separate the Meiser Rishon and the Meiser Ani, Afgai Mishum Tevel, it removes the Isser Tevel. So I have a pile of, let's say, grain. Now there's an Isser, there's a perhaps, we don't, not sure, I'm a baker. I buy a package or a bundle of, whatever you call it, of grain. And now there might be an Isser Tevel. I don't know if the farmer ever took anything off it. So let's say there's an Isser Tevel. So all I have to do is I have to separate a tenth of the grain here, and I've removed the possible, the potential tevel that may have, may didn't exist, but may it did exist. So I separate 10%. And if there was a tevel, I removed the Isser Tevel. And now the Rashi continues, Ein bo ela safek geza levim vanim. Now, I removed the suffix Isser that may have been there, but now what's left is perhaps the suffix geza. Now, who owns this Meiser? Either I own this, because maybe the tevel was never there in the first place, because the farmer took it off. Or maybe the Ani, or the lady owns it. So it's Machlok is Safek Gezel, Safek if I own it or he owns it. So the halacha is, therefore we apply a Motzi Mechaveir Alav Haraya. And when it comes to Safek Mamonis, Safek in money, you can't just take it from me. You have to prove to me that's yours. So if you think it's yours, you the lady or you the Ani think it's yours, prove to me that it was never a Tevel in the first place. That there was Tevel in the first place, I mean. So again, the case is, Maiser Rishon, Maiser Sheni, Maiser Ani rather, we require the Nachtom to take it because there's a Suffolk Isser. Suffolk Isser, you simply separate the Maiser and then you remove the Suffolk Isser. But in terms of Suffolk Mammon, who owns it, that you don't give to the Ani, that you don't give to the Levi, because that's the din of Hamotzi Mechaveir Alav Haraya. He has to prove it to you that he owns it. So then the Gemara says,
what? Have to take from Maiser Sheni, Maiser Ani, they didn't have to take.
Meiser, they didn't have to take it. They had to separate it. They didn't have to give it.
Then they could eat it.
Exactly. But the chum, as opposed to the challah and the chum is meiser, they had to take it and they had to give it as well. So then the Gemara says, so meiser sheni. What about that din? The Gemara asks, ela meiser sheni nifreshu, separate another tenth for the meiser sheni. V'nesku v'nichlu b'yishlaim. And let the nachtom go up and take it to eat in Yishlaim. And you look at Rashi, he says, nifreshu v'nisku. There's an Isser Deraisa to eat Maaser Sheni outside the walls of Yerushalayim. The halacha is you separate Maaser Sheni and you bring it to Yerushalayim to eat. If you eat it outside, it's an Isser Deraisa. So they should separate it. And by separating it, explains Rashi, Yafrishu Kedei Lasakin Tevlo. You separate the Maaser Sheni in order to remove the Isser Tevel. And Ho Velo Pasid Be Midei, the Nachtom doesn't lose anything. The Ha Inhu Yafshayu. They themselves, the bakers themselves, hadar ka'achli lebi Yishlaim. What loss do they have? They're the ones who bring it to Yishlaim to eat it for themselves. So there's no loss at all. So why don't they take Maaser Sheni as well? Because the Gemara said the only things that they do take and give is Chumas Maaser and Challah. It doesn't mention that they take Maaser Sheni. Why not? Maaser Sheni seems to be a very easy solution. Separate Maaser Sheni and let the Nachtom himself eat it in Yerushalayim. So explains the Gemara as follows. Amar Ula, Mitoch Shiparhedrin. Now this is why it's here, because the previous Gemara on yesterday's daf spoke about Lichshkas Parhedrin. Because Mitoch Shiparhedrin, Halalu, these Parhedrin, these changing governments, Chovtin Osan Kol Yud Beis Chodesh. Every 12 months, they'd be hitting them and forcing them and causing a lot of pressure. V'omrim Lahem, Machu Bezu, Machu Bezu. They would force the bakers to sell very cheap. Come on, your bread is too expensive, your cakes are too expensive, sell them for cheaper. So therefore, since the bakers had a big loss that they were being forced to sell for very cheap, lo achshechun rabbanon, they didn't force them, they didn't matriach them to go up to Yerushalayim to eat it. And it says the Rashi, lo achshechunu v'samchu lo mar sherov am ha'aretz meisen hein. They were able to be samech on the fact that most am ha'aretz did take meiser. It was only because the miyut, the minority of am ha'aretz who didn't take meiser, that you chayv anybody in the first place. But since these nachtomim were having a hard time because the parhedrin was forcing them to sell for very cheap, they said, you know what, for you we're going to be mekel. You don't have to take meiser sheni. You don't have to schlep all the way to Yerushalayim. You're having a hard time right now. We're going to be easy on you guys. And the Gemara concludes, just one more line, my parhedrin, porsu. It means Pekid HaMelech, it means the heads of the kings, the officers appointed by the kings. You had a question?
Well, was this only the last couple of words in that Rashi before? Choftin Osan? That was one when Kashen Mishachim? What is that?
So every 12 months they would have, that was yesterday's daf, right? Every 12 months they would change over. Exactly, they'd appoint a new minister or officer. Every 12 months, the new officer would try to
get money from them?
Try to less them, I'm not sure, take money from them. But I said, I guess they wanted to collect more money. So I'm not sure if they would take money away or just at least ease the prices of the bread. But somehow it would be a big hefsid mamon to the nachtomim. Now, in terms of the halacha of the nachtomim here, there's a three-way machlokas rishonim what exactly the status is. So we said already that the nachtomim themselves seem to be putter from these different maisros, the maiser sheni. So Rambam says, the guy who buys from the baker, though, he does have a chiyuv to take maiser sheni. The nachtomim himself is exempt, but the buyer has to take maiser sheni and go up to Yerushalayim. That's the Rambam's opinion. Rashi says here, Rashi lo, the Gvuras Ari, who's the Shagas Aryeh's parish on Yuma, he's Medayik from Rashi. I'm not clear exactly how he's Medayik, but he seems to say across the board, even the Lokeach, even the person who buys, is completely exempt from the Chiv to take Maiser Sheni. And the opinion of Tosfos Rashi here says, even a third opinion, that the baker is in fact Chayv to do Maiser Sheni. He's Chayv to separate the Maiser Sheni, but he's not Chayv to go up to Yerushalayim. Exactly. So that's a three-way machlokas, what exactly the din is of Maiser Sheni regarding the Nachtom and the Lokeach. Now the Gemara continues as follows. Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my dechsev. What does the pasuk mean when it says, this pasuk is found in Mishle, it says, Yiras Hashem Tosif Yamim, those who fear Hashem will have added days, Ushnos Risham Tikzerenu, and those, the years of the Risham, will be shortened. So says the Gemara, Yiras Hashem Tosif Yamim, the one who fears God will have added days, Zem Mikdash Rishon. That's the Mikdash Rishon. Why Mikdash Rishon? She'amud arba meos ve'esheshanim. Based on Mikdash, the first one lasted for the 410 years. V'lo shimshu bo elo yudches kohanim gedolim. And there were only 18 kohanim gedolim who served during the 410 years. You do a little bit of math, each kohen lived for a very long time. It means tosif yamim. They were added days because 18, 410 divided by 18 comes out to be over 20 years or so per kohen gadol, I think, right? So therefore, those were added years to the bais Rishon. But what does it mean, shnos risham tikterenu, that the years of the risham are going to be shortened? Ze mikdash sheni, that's the second base of mikdash. She'amar dalad meos ve'esim shana, over the course of 420 years, v'shim shubo yosher mishalosh meos kohanim, there were 300 kohanim gedolim who served. Interesting, they don't call them kohanim gedolim in this case, they call them simply kohanim in the Gemara. Say mehem, removed from the 420 years, right, exactly, 40 years, arbam shana shashama shimena tzadik, so that gets us down to 380. And Shmonim Shashima Shiyochan Kohen Gadol, that was gets us down to 300 now. And then Esther Shashima Shishmol Ben Pavi, that gets us down to 290 now, right? And then Vamrila Yudalf Shashima Shrebalazar Ben Charsim, others say another 11 years for Balazar, that gets us down to 379 now. And then 279 rather. And then Mikan Ve'elech, Tzei V'chashiv, Kolecha V'echa Lo Hotzi Shnaso. So that being the case, we're left with how many? 296. Six Kohanim Gdolim over 279. Yeah, so just about 1 year less for each person. So so we see that's why it says Sham Tikzerenu, Shnos Risham Tikzerenu, the years of the Risham should be shortened because they barely, other than the four or five big Kohanim Gdolim of Bai Sheni, most of them barely lived out the year. So that's what the Pasuk refers to. Okay.
Yeah, interestingly, though, it didn't stop the next guy wanting to be the Kohen Gadol.
Right, I'm the one. I'm the Chashim one, right?
And they paid for it.
Yeah, they paid for it. It's all about the color.
Paid to die.
Amazing what honor and money could do. Now, there's a long Tosfos here, which I won't read, but he says other different calculations. He thought there may have been a total of 8 Kohanim Gadolim. There's an opinion there were enough of 18 Kohanim Gadolim. Big Machlok is exactly how many Kohanim Gadolim there did exist during Bais Sheni. But there's a long history thing in Tosfos. Bais Rishon, yeah, Bais Rishon, rather.
Interesting. Yesterday, Daniel Fink, I don't know who he quoted, but it was actually an opinion that these guys, the 1 second that they'd be alive inside the Kodesh Kodashim, to them was worth the whole thing.
Well,
they knew that it was going to happen, but that they wanted that 1 second of extra closeness that only they could do, and that was it.
Well, that's
it wasn't a Gaiba thing.
Really?
So that you could spin it that way.
Right? Wow. Down the Kapschus.
Yeah.
Okay, very interesting. I wonder who says that.
I mean, because otherwise, they knew already what was going to happen. So the question is, what was their svara?
Unless they thought that they were the ones who really deserved to be the Kohen Gadol, that was the guy.
That's very delusional, but yeah, but I hear it.
So it's also delusional to think that to just want it, even for the second of Kodesh Kodashim, to give your life up for that moment. I mean, if the Torah doesn't tell you to do that, we saw it happen in Nadav Aviyu.
Exactly.
So right. I'm not sure. Okay, either way, it seemed...
Ryan Gnuvim Matukim, you know what I'm saying?
But that's not a good thing, though. I'm going to move to
right. I'm saying so, but just saying this is the only way they can get into the Kodesh Kedoshim was to be the Kohen Gadol, and everybody wants to, you always want to get into where you can't get in.
So the question is whether they're doing it because they wanted to be in a Makom Kadosh, or they wanted the taste, the sweetness of the stolen waters, if you will.
Yeah.
Okay. Now continues the Gemara on, towards the bottom. Amar Yochanan ben Turta, b'nei ma charva Shilo. Why was Shilo destroyed? So Shilo was a place after Klai Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, and they were conquering in 7 years of dividing the land. They rested in Shilo, and they built a little base of Mikdash there, and using some of the materials from the Mishkan. So eventually, they got destroyed. So the Gemara wants to know why was Shilo, the base of Mikdash or Mishkan of Shilo, destroyed? Says the Gemara, "Mipnei shayu bashnei dvarim." There are two things that caused the destruction. Gilei Raias ubizayon kachim. Those two things caused the destruction. So Gilei Raias, how do I know? Dichsev ve'eli zakin mo. Eli was very old. V'shama es kol asher yasim banav l'chol Yisrael. He heard what his children had done to Klai Yisrael. V'es asher yishkevun es anashim hatzovos pesach alamoy. And that they slept with the women who were gathered to tovos means gathered together during at the entrance of the Mishkan of the Beis Hamikdash. So v'afagav. So what does that mean? Even though it's said that anybody who says that Bnei Eli sinned were mistaken, so this obviously did happen. They weren't doing things that were so wrong. So why do they call that as if they were sleeping with other people's wives? Because they delayed the bringing of the kineim, the baskets, the karbanos for the wives. We'll see in Rashi in a second what that means. Malo lava kasuv kiilu shacham is that viewed by the pasuk as if they did. So you look at the top Rashi, sheshos kinein, they delayed the bringing of their karbanos. Shehayu mevius bimleos yom meili leidasam. When the woman had given birth and all the days of tumah and tara passed, the woman had to bring a karban. Litar lechol bekachim in order to purify herself to eat the kachim. What happens is after the days have counted, so she goes to the mikvah. Now she's mutter to be with the husband, but she can't eat kachim yet until she brings a karbon. So they're waiting to bring the karbon. V'heim hayu bali geos, and the bnei Eli were bali gaiva.
They delayed them.
They delayed bringing the karbon. And so what was the problem with that? V'hayu misrashim behar karvason, they delayed the bringing of it. V'hanoshim mamtinosham, the woman for some reason waited out at the entrance. Ad shiyar krivim, until they actually brought the karbanos. They delayed being the base of Mikdash, so they wouldn't go back so quickly to their husbands. And they delayed the mitzvah peruvu. For that reason, since they indirectly, they're nowhere near shachvim im nashim, but simply they delayed them going back to their husbands, we viewed as if shachvim im hanashim. Now the question is, why in the world were they waiting for the karbanos to be brought? There's no halacha. Seemingly, there's no halacha having to wait for your karbanos. So we learned in Shkalim, you leave the money, and you're guaranteed the kohanim are going to take care of it. So a few answers are explained here. One is that the Rashi in Shabbos apparently says that they didn't trust. They didn't trust that the Bnei Eli would bring them right away. In Echanami, the halachas were they're supposed to trust them, but I guess Bnei Eli somehow got a reputation of delaying it, so they wanted to wait until they knew for sure it was brought. That's one answer. The Meiri says they are just machmir. We find another number of places in Hilchos Nida that women are very machmir in themselves. So this was another chumrah. They're machmir to wait until they knew it was guaranteed to be brought. They wanted to see it being brought. And the third explanation is a very big chiddush. Rabbeinu Al Yakim, again, the Rishon of the only found we have in Yuma here, very, very big chiddushim. He says, based on Gemara and Sota, beautiful Raya, the Gemara and Sota says in Daf Mem, Sheyoledes Shrichalamun al Karbana, that the halacha is that Yoledes is supposed to wait and watch its karban. Now I didn't get to look into this further, but based on this Gemara, no one else quotes this, it seemed like there's a din that the woman had to actually be there when the karban was being brought. It wasn't a chumrah, they wouldn't trust anybody, but Mamash, it was a real halacha brought down by Rabbi Noel Yaakov. So that was the first din, the first source we see that there was somehow Gilei Raios in the times of Shiloh. Then the Gemara says two lines down, Bizayon Kachim. Where do you see that there's Bizayon Kachim? Dichsiv, the Pasuk says now, this Pasuk's found in Shmuel. There's a few Pesukim they're going to read here. I'll just read this to have all the punctuation right. I'm going to read it in the side of my Gemara. Gam b'term yaktirun es chelev. Before they were makir the chelev, the different fats of the carbon, uva na'ar ha-kohen, a little young kohen would come. Vamar le'isha zavech, we come to the one, the kohen who's being makir the carbon. T'na vasar litzlos le'kohen, please give me the meat that the kohen is supposed to eat. Give me the chelek, the part of the basar that's supposed to go to the kohen. I'm the little kohen, I want to eat some of it. Lo yikach mimcha basar mevusha kimchai. He didn't want to take it when it was cooked, he wanted to eat it when it was raw. Vayomer lav ha'ish, the ish kata, the one who's makdir, yaktirim b'yom ha'kiyom ha'chalav, said that the guy who's being makdir the chalav, he says, v'kach lecha kasher taiva nafshecha, take it however you want. Why don't you wait, I think, until I'm actually makdir it, and then eat it when it's all cooked. So he says, v'amar, the na'ar says to him, lo, I want to take it right now. I don't want to wait any further. I want to take it right now. The imlo lakachti b'chazaka. If you don't give it to me, I'm going to grab it from you. This is what the little chutzpahdik, the little nar kohen, saying to the older kohen. V'tichatas ha'na'arim gedolim od. It was a very big chait. Es pnei Hashem kinyatsu ha'nashim es minchas Hashem. So this is the bizayon kachim that Bnei Eli did. That was the second reason why the shilai, the mikdash or mishkan shilai was destroyed. Nagmar goes on to discuss.
Those
yeah.
Narim, we're talking about the sons, the Bnei Eli.
Yeah, I assume the Narkata, Narkoin was referring to Bnei Eli.
But where do we actually see that the Mishkan was destroyed? We know that the Aron was taken, but we don't actually see.
Let's see. That's why we need Ricky. Ricky's a bucky in the first few Svarim.
Also, my parents lived in Shiloh for 18 years.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. So we don't find anywhere
it's
that it was.
There. Huh? It's still there.
Oh, that's a different story. No, but I'm saying, I mean, oh, good, Ryan.
Where we see? I can't answer where we see right. It, but I wish I knew. Let's see if I have it down here. Maybe it says when Shmuel died, the Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed, and from there went to Givon. So I'm not sure where the pasuk, if the pasuk tells us explicitly, okay. But. Okay, I wish I did know better. I have to start a chavrusa with Ricky and Tanakh. Okay, the Gemara says now, Mikdash Rishon, Mipnei Macharov. What was the reason why the Bais Rishon was destroyed? So it says the Gemara, Mipnei Gimel Dvarim Shahayubo. There were three things that existed, three bad things that existed by Mikdash Rishon. Avodah Zarah, Gilei Raos, V'Shvichas Damim. The big three. Avodah Zarah, how do I know Avodah Zarah existed in Bais Rishon? The Pasuk says, Ki katzar, this is a pasuk in Yeshayahu, ki katzar hamatza meistara. What does that mean? So my katzar hamatza hamistareya. Am Rabbi Yonasan katzar matza ze mistarer alav shnei reim keachad. So what exactly is this telling us there? Why did Hashem bring Hakadosh Baruch Hu cut off the matza? Matza was a medium in the middle. So the basic mikdash was a medium for us, an avenue to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he was katzar matzah, he cut it off. Why? Because zeha mishtarer alav shnei reim, person who appointed upon himself two different ministers, two different friends, ke'echad. So in other words, a person who had two different gods, if you will, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Avodah Zarah. So that's the pasuk in Yeshayahu seems to indicate that there was Avodah Zarah during the times of Bais Rishon. And then the continuation of the pasuk says, actually, this is a pasuk in. Yeah, this is a continuation. V'amaseicha tzara kis kanes. So, what does that mean? Amar b'Shmuel bar Nachmani kimat Rav Yonasan lahai kra. When he got to this pasuk, Bachi, he would cry. Why? Amar man dechsiv be kones kanein mehayam nasis la maseicha tzara. The one is referred to. Akarish Baruch is referring to kones kanein mehayam. He gathers together all the water. Certainly, all of a sudden turns into a maseicha. And turns into some type of idol. So, and a tsara is a lashon of two wives. A person has two wives. The two wives are viewed as tsaros, are competitors with each other. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan would cry, Yonasan would cry rather, because v'maseicha tsara, that Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you will, turned into an idol with a tsara, with a competitor, namely with Avodah Zarah. So that's what the pasuk here means, that there existed Avodah Zarah during the times of Bais Rishon. What's the source that we know there was Gilei Raos also during Bais Rishon? The pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem Yon ki gavu benos Sion v'telachna d'tuyos garon u'mishakos einaim haloch v'tafof telachna breglem teachsena." So that's the whole pasuk. So the Gemara is going to darshan each part of the pasuk. So this pasuk is found in Yeshayahu as well. So Gemara says, "Ya'an ki gavu benos Sion." What does that mean? That they like the benos Sion, the doors of Sion would be tall. Mahalchos aruka b'tai k'tzara. A taller woman would walk next to a shorter woman in order to see, look how tall I am, and try to get attention from the men. V'telachna n'tuyos garon. What does that mean? Shayu mahalchus bekomer zakufa, standing up straight tall to also gain the attention of the men. Umishakos einayim, they would what is it? Umishakos einayim, I mean, they cover their eyes. That's what it means.
Color.
That's what literally what misakros mean. I know that's how they interpret it. What's the lashon of misaker, David? Do you know misaker? What does misaker mean? Means to cover?
What is it?
No, that's fine. No, so anyway, so Gemara interprets misakros and I means the havu malan kofla inayim. Okay, with a samech, sikra, as we have color. Yeah. I see. Okay, so the havu malan kofla inayim, they would color their eyes to also to put makeup on. Haloch v'tafuf telachna. What does that mean? Shayu mahalchus akev v'tzad golda. They walk, you know, one foot after the next foot. Ubraglehen tachsena. They wear some type of perfume, put them in their feet, and they see the young children, young men of Klai Yisrael, they kick, and they would send out their perfume into these Bechari Yisrael. It would serve to be a Yitzhara and to entice them to be with them. So here we see, based on the drush of this pasuk in Yeshayahu, it seems clear that there existed also Gilai Rayos during Bais Rishon. Then the Gemara says, okay, where do we see that Shvichas Damim existed in Bais Rishon? Dichsev gam dam naki shavach Menashe harbe meod arashe melas yushalim pelapet. We see that Menashe had killed so many innocent people until there's blood from one end to the other end of Yushalayim. So these are three different Isurim that existed during Bais Rishon and thus caused the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara in Darim tells us that, yeah.
And he lasted the longest.
Right. Very, very strange. So the problem is, with this Gemara, the Gemara in Darim, that payoff, a famous Gemara, tells us what was the reason why Bais Rishon was destroyed. It was destroyed because they didn't say Bir Chasator before learning. And the Ron explains, because they didn't have the right chashivas, they didn't get the proper chashivas to the Torah, they thought it was like a regular secular subject, they were learning science, learning math, and they didn't, by not saying Bir Chasator before a Torah, that was the reason why it got destroyed. So the Mefarshim explain as follows. The Gemara, the Medrash Eicha says that Kadosh Baruch Hu was Vita. He was able to tolerate the Gimel Averos, but he wasn't able to tolerate the fact that he didn't say Birchas Torah before learning Torah. The question was, what does it have to do with the next? So they explain as follows. When you're learning Torah, Lishma, so that protects a person from the Gimel Averos he's doing. But the second he stops learning Lishma, he's just doing it for intellectual pursuit. So the Hatzalah, the protection, defense is no longer there. So once he loses that, then the Gimel Averos are unprotected, and that's why it ultimately was destroyed. So both of them, really, they're really both true, and they work with each other. Then the Gemara says, where are we? Aval Mikdasheni. But during Bayis Sheni, Shayu Oskim B'Torah, Uva Mitzvos, Ugumit Chasadim, a number of wonderful things were taking place during Bayis Sheni. So why was that destroyed? Says the Gemara, Mipnei Macharav, Mipnei Shayisa Bostina Schinim. Because there are sinas chinim, the lamedcha sheshkula sinas chinim keneged shlosha veros avodah zarah gerayos of shichas damim. They were wonderful people, but because they had sinas chinim, that caused the destruction of the Bayis Sheni. Risham hayu ela shetalu bitchonim b'Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So this is a continuation of that. Let's see. New piece. Okay, so before that, so we see again. So the reason why Bayis Sheni, as we know well, was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. Somebody was telling me who in another shul who gives a daf yomi, he didn't understand Gemara here. He said, "I don't understand. They're involved in gemilas chasadim, giving to each other, but yet there's Sinas Chinam. Doesn't make any sense." I said, "What do you mean? It doesn't make any sense? It makes a lot of sense." And look nowadays, there's plenty of gemilas chasadim going on, and unfortunately, there's plenty of sinas chinam. Exactly. There's no one who, there's no nation that does as much chesed as we do. At the same time, there's unfortunately a lot of sinas chinam. So I don't find it to be such a pella. It's sad, and they do gemilas chasadim for the wrong reasons, for themselves, for the gaiva. But okay, either way. Now, the Chavetz Chaim writes here, when the Gemara says Sinas Chinam here, it doesn't really mean Sinas Chinam. It means Sinas Chinam led ultimately to Lashon Hara. And the Chavetz Chaim thinks it was Lashon Hara that really caused the destruction, but Sinas Chinam allowed that to happen. However, if you look at Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah Shari Tshuva, and other places, it seems like the Sinas Chinam itself, the actual feelings that they had for each other, or the lack of, that really caused it. Not necessarily because it was a Lashon Hara, but just Sinas Chinam was enough to cause the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Maharal explains, what's the difference between the destruction of the Bais Rishon and Bais Sheni? So he says as follows. The Bais Rishon, which had Hashra Shechina, Bishlei Musa, Karsh Baruch Hu's existence, the Nisim, were completely begala, completely revealed. So for them, in order for the Bais Mekish to be destroyed, it required that the Gimel Averis to be there to be Matami, the Bais Bais Rishon. It had to be the big three to cause the destruction. Bais Sheni, which did not have Hashra Shechina so much, a little bit of Hashra Shechina, but not so much. There were not Nisim going on during Bais Sheni. So what allowed the Bais Sheni to be in existence? It was through the Achdus that they had. But once the Achdus no longer existed, there was Sinas Chinam, so then the Bais Sheni had to fall apart. It wasn't because of Kadosh Baruch Hu, it was more so because of Klai, so it had a lot of Achdus.
That's you see that there was, Kadosh Baruch Hu was able to tolerate the Dor HaFloga.
Because there was Achdus.
As opposed
exactly.
to, as a, even though they were fighting against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but there was Achdus, so the Kadosh Baruch Hu was able to tolerate them and didn't even kill them, just spread them out. There were Mabu, there was no Achdus.
I saw a beautiful word 2 weeks ago. I heard this from you already. But the Gary Rebbe, when Yaakov Avinu, Gezunta, Yaakov Avinu, when he got to the Evan, so he came to the well, there's a big Evan. So the Medrash says the Evan refers to Yetzirah. Yaakov Avinu by himself picked up the Evan because he was able to, emissary Yaakov, he had the Torah, he's able to uproot it. But when the rest of the shepherds got together with the Achdus, they're also able to fight against the Yetzirah. The Evan, which is Yetzirah, if you have Achdus, you could also fight the Yetzirah, either through Torah as an individual or through this Achdus. That's what Gary Rebbe says. So we see how powerful Achdus is, but once it's in a Shechinim, then everything really falls away. So then the Gemara says, Risham Hayu, El Shetol B'tchonim B'Kadosh Baruch Hu. So they were Rishayim, but they still trusted in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that they wouldn't be destroyed. This is going back on the Kohanim Gedolim, it's going back there, I think, right? This is like the Yerushalmi, not really telling us what we're up to and just kind of going in the middle, but going back into that, that's what he said, Rabbi Yochanan ben Turtir, what was his name?
Yeah.
Okay. Right, so he told us again that why was Shiloh destroyed? It's going back to that point, no?
It says here, well, Awesome Mikdash Rishon. That's what
it's
referring
to. Which line?
It's not a shepherd to the Bais Sheni. We just talked about Bais Sheni. It's not a continuation. It's going back to the Bais Rishon.
Okay, fine. Bais Rishon. So, Risham Hayu, that the Klai Yisrael during the times of Bais Rishon were the fact that they had Gimel Averos. But yet they trusted in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't punish them. So, also in the Mikdash Rishon, that's referring to Mikdash Rishon. The Pasuk says, Roshe B'Shochad Yishpotu B'Karneh B'Mechir Yoru. That the heads were got to the position they were judged with bribes. The karnav, the karn b'mechir yoru, they would give halacha yoru hara with selling it. Unvieha b'kesev yiksum, and they would do whatever some of the prophecy or kishif of some sort by being paid off. Val Hashem yishana, but they relied on HaKadosh Baruch Hu lemor saying, "Hello, Hashem b'kibenu, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu not among us? Lo seva aleinu ra, nothing bad will happen to us." The fika chayvu alein haKadosh Baruch Hu gimel gzeros kinega gimel averos shebadem, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought upon them three decrees that correspond to three averos shebiyadam. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, lachein bigalecha, because of them, tzion sada techrash v'yishlaim ayin tia v'har bais limavos yair. So the tzion, the klayser, eretzer rather, will be the fields will be plowed by not in a good way, but like the cities will be plowed down, and the Yushlaim Ayintia, what does it mean Ayintia here?
Become ruined,
okay. V'har Bais Levamos Yar will become like a forest. So this corresponds to Bais Rishon. Oh, I said another point before I go weiter. One other point I had, that from Bais Sheni we just said, it was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. The Gemara in Bavitzia says as follows: Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Charva Yushalayim, Elo Shehemidu Shine. Dinem Al Din Torah, Vlo Asu Lifnim Mishur Sadin. The reason why it was destroyed, says the Gemara in Bavitzia, because they didn't do Lifnim Mishur Sadin. They did whatever the Pesach Halacha was, and nothing more. They didn't give in. Okay, to be a little nicer, this is the Halacha, this is the law, no changing, no bending the rules at all. Because there's no Lifnim Mishur Sadin, Bais Sheni was destroyed. The Tosfos asks, but the Gemara in Yuma says that's based on the Sinas Chinam, not because they didn't do Lifnim Mishur Sadin. So Tosfos says, no, both of them are true. They both of them together caused the destruction of Bais Sheni. Pnei Yeshua in the Tshuvos writes, it doesn't make any sense. The Gemara says, Lo charva ela mishum. Sound like the one reason was because of Lifnim Rosh Hashanah. You can't say they both happened. It was one and not the other. So explains Pnei Yeshua that because they had Sinas Chinim, that caused him to not judge the Lifnim Rosh Hashanah, and then the Lifnim Rosh Hashanah caused the destruction, or the lack of the Lifnim Rosh Hashanah caused the destruction of the Bayis Sheni. So ultimately, it was because the lack of Lifnim Rosh Hashanah. I thought maybe a pshat could be, I didn't look into this further, the Gemara here is talking about the Bayis Sheni. The Gemara in Bamsiya says, Lo Charva Yushalayim El Hashem Midu. So one's talking about Yushalayim, and one's talking about Beis Hamikdash. Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because Sinas Chinim, and Yushalayim was destroyed because of the lack of Lifnim Meshur Sadin. Okay, so continuing with the Gemara now, this is the last medium-wide line. The Mikdash Rishon Lo Havu Ba Sinas Chinim? Sinas Chinim only existed during the times of Bayis Sheni. There was no Sinas Chinim during Bayis Rishon. The Pasuk tells us. Pasuk in Yecheskel. So I don't have it on the side. Oh, you haven't done. Oh, the older Gemaras are easier. You have actually mamash on the side here. You have to like look to the side, find the one, especially when there are 15 psukim on the side here. It's hard. So the Pasuk in Yecheskel says, "Haksiv migure el charev hayu es ame." So where the pasuk go here? This is number Ches here, right? Letter Ches. One second. Right, migure el charev hayu es ami, lachein svok el yarech. So the swords, I guess it's referring to probably the way they spoke to each other. How are they saying this? What does it literally mean? What does migure el charev mean? The ones who lived upon the sword? Is that how we're interpreting this?
Migure is dira.
Dira, right. So the ones who lived with the sword, with a sword. Lachain, Sifok Ayarich.
People that live together and eat and drink together.
Well, the Gemara is going to explain what that means, but just the literal definition of there's any literal English or no?
Fearers of the sword were my people, therefore smite upon your thigh.
Okay. Okay.
Right, so that's why we didn't.
Okay, okay.
Was not really too helpful.
Okay, so says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Elu bnei Adam, she'ochlin v'shosim zemze. These would be referring to people who would eat together. The dokrin zedze becharvos shebilshonim. And they would, if you will, hit each other with the swords of their tongues, namely with Lashon Hara and Sinas Chinim. So we see clearly, based on the interpretation of the Pasuk in Yecheskel, that there clearly was Sinas Chinim. Moses says, no, that was referring to Hahi b'nisi Yisrael. Those were referring to the heads of Klai Yisrael, not the individuals. The individuals actually got along. It was the ones involved in politics, perhaps, who did not get along with each other. That's what the Pasuk refers to. How do I know this? The Pasuk says, which also in Yecheskel, I think, right?
Yes.
Pasuk says, Zak v'hilel ben Adam, ki ha'yisa ba'ami. And says the Gemara, v'tanya zak v'hilel ben Adam. So how are we interpreting this right now?
The end of the Pasuk was, he b'chol nisi
among the princes of Israel.
So Yachal L'chol, Tam Lomar, Lomar, He B'chol Nisi Yisrael. I see. So the continuation of the Pasuk is, these individuals, they weren't like representing everyone, these were simply the heads of Klal Yisrael. So only the heads of Klal Yisrael had this Sinas Chinim, had this Lashon Hara taking place, but not the rest of Klal Yisrael. Okay.
So says, yeah. That was Bayis Rishon. Bayis Sheni was the rest of the people.
All right. So Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, the Amru Tavaya, both of them said, Rishonim shenisgalu avonam, nisgalu kitzam. The Bayis Rishon, the first Bayis Mikdash, which was destroyed, where everybody knew what their sins were, they were clear to everybody, the Gimel Averos, so the end of days, where the end of their galus was let known to them. So they were known when Bayis Sheni was going to be returned. Achronim Bayis Sheni, shlo nisgalu avonam, that their sins were not revealed. They were very nice to each other, perhaps, on the outside, but the sinas chinam that took place on the inside was not revealed. So therefore, lo niskalu kitzam, their end, when the gulf would end, was not revealed, and we're still living through it. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, tova tzipornan shavishonim mikrisin shachronim, better were the nails, which is supposed to be nothing, the worst part of the body, better were the nails of the rishonim, more so than the stomachs, which is the gut of things, the good things, the positive things, better than the meat of the achronim. I once saw a gra, I don't remember it, and get a chance to look this one up either. The gra once had a connection here. There's a medjish in Parshas Shmini, which talks about all the different behemoth tamez and behemoth toros, and he talks about the pig, who's the looks as the tziporno, the nails, are revealed, but doesn't chew its cud, as opposed to the camel and others, which don't have a split, but have to choose the cud. One, the different animals have one simen, but not the other simen. He connected it somehow to the tziporno was the pig, referring to one of the galluses, and the stomach was referring to the chewing its cud to the other one. It's a beautiful gra. I don't remember exactly how it worked, but somehow connected into this very much so.
Well, chewing its cud also could represent, before you say something, think it over carefully, so maybe that type of lashon hara where you need to...
Oh, interesting.
Chew it over. Think it over before you're going to say out something.
Right. So. Interesting. It says the Gemara now. Amar le Reish Lakish. Ah, the Rabba. Not true. The Rishon wasn't better than Shani. Achronim Adifa. They were better. The people during the second base of English were better. Af agav d'ika shibur malchios kask b'torah. Despite the fact they were in such terrible political government rule, they still were osik b'torah. So they were so good. Amar le bira tochiach. The bira, in other words, the Beis HaMikdash, remember from Beis HaMikdash, the bira referred to the Beis HaMikdash, that will bring the proof. Shechazal Rishonim v'lo chazal l'achorim. The Rishonim at least were zocha to have the Beis HaMikdash returned to them, but the Achorim were never zocha to it, so clearly the fact that it returned to the Rishonim must have been better. Shoshalu es Rabbi Elazar, they asked him what his thoughts were. Rishonim g'dolim v'achorim g'dolim, who were better? The people of the Beis Rishon, the people of the Beis Sheni. Amalehem, Rabbi Elazar responds back to them, Tenu enechem, put your eyes, bebir. Look at the bira. In other words, the bira returned. Or ikadami, others say the response was, Amar lehem eidechem bira, your testimony is from the bira. Whenever you explain it, it's the same answer, that the bira, the fact that the Beis HaMikdash returned to the Rishonim and not to the Achronim, tells us the Rishonim were better than the Achronim. The very strange machlokas, who really cares who's better, who's not? I'm not sure what the value in that is, but either way, it comes out that the Rishonim must have been better. Made to tell us that how bad Sinas Chinim is, despite the fact that the person's Osek B'Torah, Sinas Chinim is much worse than that, and the Torah means nothing without, not nothing, but it's very...
He says a very nice, Ravein al-Yakub, yeah. Brings down that the Bayis Rishon, the people who went into Golos and the Bayis Rishon, mm-hmm. when they went, they were new Rehim, when they went, they were young, they went into Golos, they came back as a Canaan, mm-hmm. so the Lachronim, they came back. Bayis Rishon, they went and left in Golos from the Bayis Rishon, but they came back as a Canaan to the Bayis Sheni. That's what he's saying. So they went, but the Rishonim, they came back. The Rishonim came back. They were left as Naarim and came back as a Canaan. But that's what that was.
So Achronim here mean there's a Canaan who came back,
right? He says that. Shows the kingdom of Golem by Sarishim and Reim, Shiro, Batmus, by Sasheni. They saw, uh-huh. right? They saw the return of the Bira. But those who left by Sasheni,
never gets a soot.
Right? They all died. And they didn't, that's it. That was it. The people, you know, the people who left from by Sasheni, meaning their generation also. This is continuing.
Rabbeinu Yaakov is very interesting. Shot, very, very interesting.
They left and they didn't come back. Those people left to buy a shame. They left sort of destruction, but they then died out.
That was it.
At least the first ones were able to. So they're saying the first ones were better. Because they were able to come back and at least see the Beis HaMikdash again.
Okay. Says the Gemara, Reish Lakish have a sachav yardana. Reish Lakish was swimming in the Yarden. Also Rabba Bar Barchana, Yov Lo Yada, he wanted to give him a hand, help him out. I'm not sure why. Maybe he was, having a difficult swimming, but he wanted to help him out of the Yarden. Amalei, Loka Sanina Lahu, he said, Reish Lakish says to him, your God hates you. The pasuk says, Imchoma hi nivne aleh tiras kesev, vimdelas hi natzer aleh luach erez. What does that mean? Im asisem asmechem kechoma, if you make yourself like a wall, valisem kulcham bimei Ezra, and you all would have went up during the times of Ezra, nim shaltim kekesev, you would have been compared to a kesev, shein rekev shalitba, where it doesn't rot at all. Achshav, however, now shalisem kedalsos, they went up like doors, which means not everybody went up, only in parts. Only some people returned from the times of Ezra. Right, see, Rashi says kedaltos means shar sheyesh bo shnei daltos. A gate that has two doors. Posech echad v'chaveru soger, one's open, one's closed. Kach halisam l'chatzon, only half of you went up during the times of Ezra. So, nim shaltim, therefore, you're going to be compared to a keres, like a cedar. Sherekev Sholeba, where it can go bad, it can get spoiled, it can be affected. So he sees, so my Erez, what does Erez mean? Amar Ula, Sasmagor. Okay, what does that mean? My Sasmagor. I'm a Rabbi Abba Baskol. First to Baskol. Kedatani, the Brisa says, Mishemesu Nevim, and the Nevim Mehachonim died. Chagai, Zachariah Malachi. Nistaka Ruach HaKodesh, Misrael, they lost Ruach HaKodesh. Vadain he Mishtabshim in Baskol, and they're still using the Baskol. So what's this all saying here? So I'm not sure why we said errors here, but either way, Reish Lakish says to Rabbi Babrachana that your God, Akash Baruch Hu, hates you guys since not all of you left from Bavel with Ezra. So it must have been before Reish Lakish, I guess, became he became good.
He says Sasmagor is a cedar that was eaten by worms, which the worm is called a sas, that eats it from the inside. And you just left with the shell.
And how's this?
Shell.
How's this? Why do we say this means a baskal? Though, how does that kind of come in? The point being, from this, obviously we figured that out. The point being here again, Reish Lakish said, since not everybody came back from the times of Ezra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates all of you. Why is, I don't understand why this is being referred to as the errors being referred to as a baskal.
Just like. When the Erez is left with only its shell.
Ah, that's the point.
So therefore, now Klal Yisrael is only Tachmuzel Yisrael, but Aisheni, it's only left from the Nevuah. It's only a Baskol. It's going
the
down.
The Shrush Shechina is very weak. Right. All you have left is a Baskol.
Right.
That's why they're referred to as a Sasmagor. Ah, I see. Okay. Very good. So Gemara says now, Reish Lakish mi Mishtai b'hadi Rabba Barachana. The Reish Lakish really cross paths with Rabba Barachana. Right? Apparently, they lived in different times. Umar Rabbi Elazar de Mara de Ara de Yisrael Hava. Rabbi Elazar, who was the Nasi of Eretz Yisrael, the Lo Havi Mishtai Reish Lakish Bade. Reish Lakish didn't cross paths with him. So, Man de Mishtai Reish Lakish. So, apparently, the way the history works out, I don't know exactly the history here, though, but apparently, it's impossible for them to cross paths with each other. So, Man de Mishtai Reish Lakish Bade Bashuk Yavli Iske Belo Sade. What's it saying here? This part of the question, I see. Okay, apparently, Reish Lakish wouldn't engage in discussion with anybody. Without Edom. Okay, he wouldn't do business with anybody without Edom. So what's the issue here? Man the Mishtai Reish Lakish Bahadi Bashuk, you have the Iskad Bilosade Bahadi Rabbi Barakhana Mishtai.
So he didn't even talk to Rabbi Lazar, who was the Maradar Yisrael, so then certainly he didn't talk to Rabbi Barakhana, who was less than Rabbi Lazar.
It wasn't that he didn't live at the same time, he just wouldn't engage in discussion with him. But why not? I understand why not, because anything in the articles there?
He didn't initiate.
He said anything in the street, but if it was in the base medrash,
he didn't initiate a conversation. So you haven't seen like he's initiating Reish Lakish, right?
He's
initiating.
So he wouldn't talk to anybody in the shuk.
Right. Yeah. Right. But he would answer. If somebody talked to him, he would answer.
So here he's saying here it seemed like he initiated.
Right.
Yeah. That's the issue. Okay, fine, that's the point. So the Gemara says, so Amar Rav Papa, Shidei Gavra Binayo, throw a person in the middle. There's a middleman there as well. Oh, Reish Lakish Hava, Uzi'ira. And I guess he engaged in conversation with the Zi'iri. Oh, Rabbi Barbachana Hava, Rabbi Elazar. It wasn't Reish Lakish, it was Rabbi Elazar. Enachanami couldn't be Reish Lakish and Rabbi Barbachana. He had to switch one of the people around. But with Zi'iri, he would engage in conversation, or it was Rabbi Elazar, not Reish Lakish. Right, that's how we. I think we're reading it, right?
Was washing. It was coming up from the river. It wasn't Reish Lakish.
Okay. All right. So somehow, right? That's what Rashi says. Okay. Let's read a little bit further now. We'll get to the top of the next page, just a few lines in. The Gemara says as follows: Ki asa l'kami Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish eventually got to Rabbi Yochanan. So Amar Lei Lav Hayinu Taima Inami Slika Kula B'mei Ezra Lohave. So it's not because they lacked Hashra'a Shechina b'mikdash Sheni, because Inami Salika Kula, even if they all went up during the times of Bayis Sheni, b'mei Ezra, l'hava Shara Shechina b'mikdash Sheni, there would have been Hashra'a Shechina. Nothing to do with how many people got up there or not. How do I know there's never going to be Hashra'a Shechina b'mikdash Sheni? D'chziv yofas elokim liyefes, v'yishkon abol eshem. Meaning, afagav the Yefes elokim liyefes, even though things would be beautiful for the nation of Yefes, Ein Hashchina Shora Ella Baal Hashem. It only would have existed Baal Hashem, which apparently references Bayis Rishon. So Rashi explains, Afa Pisha Yafas Elkim Liefes, Shezachu Parsoim, the Vnos Bayis Sheni, the Persians were Zoche, to build the Bayis Sheni, such a beautiful base of Mikdash, Ein Shchina Shora Ella B'Mikdash Rishon, Shebana Shlomo, Sheba Mizara Shel Shem. The only base of Mikdash that would be Zoche to was the one who was built by Shem, namely the children of Shem, Shlomo HaMelech.
Kodesh gave permission, and he helped them at the beginning.
Right. So Gemara just concludes with Parsai Minolim de Miyefes Kasu. How do we know the Persians came from Yefes? The Pasuk said, "Bnei Yefes, Gomer Umada, Gomer Umagog Umada Miyavon Vesuval Meshach Vesiras." These are the children of Yefes. Gomer is Germania, Germany perhaps. Magog is Candia. I don't think Canada, but maybe it is. Mada is Om Macedonia, and Yavon is Kimashmao, Greece. The Tuval is the base of Onaiki, don't know what that is. And Meshech Zumusia. Tiras, Pligi ba Rebbe Simai, Rabbanon, Vamila Rebbe Simon, Rabbanon, Chadamar Zu base Shraki, Vechadamar Zu Paras. And Tani Rav Yosef, Tiras Zu Paras. So we see here that there are two opinions that held that Tiras was a reference to Paras. So we see Persia was one of the descendants of Yefes. And therefore they were Zoche, not therefore, but they were the ones Zoche to build the Bayis Sheni. Okay, we'll stop here.
This whole map is interesting.
I have that map here.